Jesus says, Daniel, when you pray. Not if you decide to pray as a follower of me, but when you pray, this is how you should pray. So Jesus actually has this expectation for us living within his community and his kingdom that we will be men and women of prayer. Amen? Like he was. What examples can you think of Jesus as a man of prayer? Talk to me. In the Garden of Gethsemane, okay? Right before he goes to the cross, he spends this intense time of travail in preparing himself for what he's about to go through. What else? Okay, so he would get up early and go into the mountains to pray, to spend time with his heavenly Father. What else? Okay, to be alone. He takes time to go be alone with the Father. Excellent. Okay, so 40 days before he starts his ministry, what does he do? 40 days. He goes out into the desert to pray and fast and prepare for his mission. Anything else? I'm sorry? Okay, so he was ministering to people. Yep. Right, okay. So after days of ministry, he would get away and to go spend time with the Father. So like after feeding the 5,000, he goes up, he sends the disciples away, he goes up and spends time with prayer. Ah, very good. So from the cross, Jesus prays, doesn't he? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, I commit my spirit into your hands. Jesus was a man of prayer. And you know, I've been really struck in recent days as I've been reflecting on some of the things that Jesus teaches us about prayer. And the one thing that has really stood out to me and striking me is that he teaches us that prayer brings rewards and gifts. Did you know that? You probably did, but have you thought about it recently? Rewards are a result of love a life of prayer. So how many of you have been prayed for when you were sick and you were healed? That is a reward that comes through prayer. How many of us have been going through a certain situation and we came to God and said, God, I need your wisdom. I need to know what to do here. I don't know what's going on here. Show me what's going on. And you have gotten insight and wisdom and revelation of what to do or how to pray or whatever the situation needed. That is a reward of prayer. Jesus experienced this himself when he went all night to pray. It's one that we forgot to mention maybe specifically. But he goes out all night to pray to ask the Father, what 12 disciples do I need to choose? And so in that night of prayer, the Heavenly Father was giving him wisdom as to who he should choose as his 12 apostles. And that is a reward of prayer, of spending time with our Heavenly Father. In Matthew 7, we read, if you will pray to your Heavenly Father, know that he is one who loves to give good gifts to his children. So your Heavenly Father, through prayer, wants to give good gifts to you. And when we read that scripture in Luke 11, I think it is, it actually says your Father in heaven loves to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And so what does that say to us? That says when he talks about he loves to give us the Holy Spirit, he says, I love to give myself to you. When you pray, when you ask and you seek and knock, that's the context of that passage. I want you to ask, I want you to seek, I want you to knock, because you have a good Father in heaven who loves to give good gifts to his children, especially the gift of himself. He loves to give us of himself when we pray. Our Heavenly Father and Jesus, as he was here on the earth, is inviting us into this life of prayer because he desires to give himself to us and give us gifts and to give us rewards. And so many of us are missing out on his presence and the gifts that he has for us simply because we're neglecting to be the men and women of prayer that he has created us to be. Is it possible that a lack of God's presence in your life is directly related to your lack of a prayer life, of spending time with him? Is it possible that you're not receiving the rewards and the gifts that he has stored up for you simply because you're not spending time with him in prayer? I believe it is. Today I want us to consider two scriptures. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. Can we read this out loud together? But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Who is God's house? Who's God's house? Okay, make it personal. I am. I am God's house. Let's read the next scripture. And I want you to think about, when you put these two scriptures together, what is it saying? Matthew 21, 13, Jesus is speaking and he says, it is written. And he said to them, what? Okay, only two of you said that out loud. So come on, repeat the scripture with me out loud, okay? He said to them, my house shall be a house of prayer. You can stop there. My house shall be a house of prayer. What did the previous verse say? I am your house. What happens when you put those two together? I am a house of prayer. You see, in the Old Testament, the temple was where the presence of God resided. Under the new covenant today, I am his temple. And his spirit resides in me. In the old covenant, that's where they came and they declared it was a house of prayer. Today, I am the temple and I am the house of prayer. So Jesus says, my house shall be a house of prayer. And I want to share a testimony with you about my journey here over the last 14 years in Australia and how God has been unpacking and understanding and revelation of what it means when he says, my house shall be a house of prayer. Because what we've just talked about is really just the starting point. I grew up in what we affectionately call a PK's home. So most of you would know that, right? So I am a PK. Do you know what a PK is? No, some of us don't. A PK is a pastor's kid. So why would you know that, right? Not growing up in the church, it's one of those things, you know? So I'm a kid of a pastor, so we're called PKs. And so from the very beginning of my life, it was shaped with an atmosphere of prayer. We would pray as a family before our meals, and we ate all our meals together for the most part. During regular times of devotion as a family, we would always have prayer time. Obviously, before we went to sleep, Mom or Dad would always tuck us in and we'd have our prayer time together. And of course, when we go to Sunday school and church, we would always be learning to pray. On Wednesday nights was our prayer meeting. And so us as kids and adults, we were always in the prayer meeting. Or as kids and teenagers, we were always in the prayer meeting on Wednesday night with the adults. So my life was shaped by this atmosphere of prayer, both at home and in the context of the church. And my dad, as a pastor, we would often have people coming to visit us in our home. So we would have a lot of hospitality happening, and my parents would always pray with everyone who came before they left. I can picture it in my mind, around the door before they walk out, we would have a little prayer meeting. Or if we would be invited to their house to go for a visit, there'd always be a time of prayer before we left that place. But one of the most significant memories I have of prayer as a child is actually with my grandparents. So during the summers, I used to go and spend weeks with my grandparents. And on my mom's side, we would wake up every morning and breakfast would be ready. And we'd come to the breakfast table, we'd eat breakfast, and then we'd have devotions together around the table, and then we'd pray together before the start of the day. We couldn't play at all until we had our meal and our devotions and our prayer time, and then we were free to go. I can remember sitting there at that table listening to the heart cry prayers of my grandparents. On my dad's side, when I'd go to stay at their house, they would get up so early that they'd have their own devotions and prayer time before I even got up as a kid, because he was a farmer. But every night before they went to bed, both of my grandparents would kneel down beside their bed, and they'd invite me to join them, and they would start praying out loud at the same time. This doesn't actually happen very much in America. I don't even know where they got it from, to pray out loud at the same time like that. And I don't actually remember praying out loud. They didn't make me pray. But I do remember what they prayed for. And they would have this routine where they would pray for each other, and they pray for their family, and then they pray for their pastor, and then they pray for their church family, and they pray for anyone that they knew that was sick. They would pray for their neighbors. And then they would pray for the missionaries that they as a church were supporting. When I look back at my childhood and the seeds that were sown into my soul in relationship to prayer, I now understand that Jesus has been training me all along to how personally to be a house of prayer. He was surrounding me with examples of men and women who were houses of prayer. And they were setting the example for me of what it means to be a woman of prayer, a man of prayer. Jesus said before he died in John 4:23, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." God wants to make his home in you. And so when we make that journey of asking for forgiveness, putting our faith in Jesus, God comes to make his home in our hearts by sending his Spirit to cause our spirit to come alive. And it's the Spirit, this relationship between your spirit and the Spirit of God, that now allows you to be able to communicate with God. That's how we communicate with God, spirit to spirit. And this unity of relationship is allowed then to communicate. And so then personally, through that spirit to spirit contact, I become a house of prayer. So when we hear Jesus say, "My house shall be a house of prayer," we need to hear him saying, "Candace, you are my house. Be a woman of prayer. Anna, you are my house. Be a woman of prayer." Put your name in there. Tara, you are God's house. Be a woman of prayer. But I also gleaned from my childhood that Jesus also desires that literally our homes would become houses of prayer as well. So as I individually am a house of prayer, that should carry over to my family life, however and wherever possible. So husbands and wives together should be houses of prayer. Parents and children together should be houses of prayer. The family unit together should be a house of prayer. I think of the movie The War Room, if those of you have seen it, how she creates a closet space, which is her prayer room. And so her house becomes a house of prayer. And then her daughter does it, and then her husband does it. And it becomes a house of prayer as they each individually take on that calling and that responsibility and that privilege of being a house of prayer. And I understand that it's not possible for all of us. For some of you, it's just you in the house. But you can step into that role of committing your home to be a house of prayer through your life of prayer. You take that stand. If you've seen that movie, you'll see she takes that stand before her husband does, before her children do. So she, as an individual woman of prayer, took that stand and says, "This house belongs to God. Enemy, get out. I'm making this a house of prayer." I want to share a video with you. A couple years ago when I was home, my dad told me this story that I'd never heard before in 46 years of my existence about his family. And I'm like, "Dad, I've got to get that videoed. Can you share that with me?" So I videoed him telling this story, and I want to invite you to meet my dad, who's an awesome dad. I preached about him last time, so here he is. And this is a story from his growing up days.
"Well, when I was about 7 and my brother was 9, it was a Sunday evening and we were getting ready to go to church. And Burdett decided he was going to carry
our sister, Carolyn,
who was maybe between 2 and 3. And when he was going down the step, he missed his step. And he fell down the steps, and right at the end of the platform is the concrete wall. And Carolyn hit her head against that wall, and she was unconscious. And my dad immediately grabbed her, and we were all crying. And I can see in my mind my dad walking back and across in front of the road, praying for her. And they didn't know what to do, so they thought, well, we better take them over to Sunbury to the hospital. But there was just a clinic there, and the doctor that was on said there wasn't anything he could do for her. So my dad looked at Mother and said, well, we were going to church. We might as well just take her and go to church and pray for her. So we went to church, and he carried her in, and she laid on their lap. And he sent a note in the offering plate for the pastor to come and anoint her. So I can remember my mother and dad going up at the altar and the people praying for her. And when they prayed, they came back and sat down, and the service went on. And during the preaching service, my sister Carolyn got awake, and they just kept her laying. And after service, she got up and she was running around the church just like all the other kids. And there was never anything that was wrong with her. She was checked and she was all right. And so that was a miraculous story in the life of my parents.
And I was just talking to my dad last night on the phone. I told him I was going to be sharing that story, and he said it again. He said, "Oh, I can visualize my dad right now just walking back and forth praying for his daughter on the street." I am fruit. I am fruit from grandparents and parents who are men and women of prayer. What kind of prayer heritage will you be leaving or passing on to your children and grandchildren? Do your kids and your grandkids know and experience you to be a man or woman of prayer like Jesus? Do your nephews and nieces, in my case, with no kids, no grandkids, do my nephews and nieces know that their Aunt Candace is a woman of prayer? When Jesus says, my house should be a house of prayer, I have to first come understand that that means me personally. But it also should carry over to my household, to my family. But when Jesus declared these words, he was literally standing in the courts of the house of God in Jerusalem. And so when he said, my house shall be a house of prayer, he was also referring to the corporate gathering of God's people, like we are here today. Every church should be a house of prayer. Or have a culture of prayer. When we come together, we pray. We pray for each other. We pray for our leaders. We pray for God's kingdom to come and his will to be among us. We pray for the sick. We pray for our city. We pray for our nation. We are a people who pray. And I loved at the end of pre-service prayer this morning, I was walking out and I looked back and there were two women praying for each other. That's exactly what the house of prayer should look like. When we're having coffee and tea with one another, if someone's sharing with you about what's going on in their lives or the situations, pray for them. It doesn't have to be at the end of the service when we invite you up here to pray for people, which we love to do and is a part of our culture of prayer as well. But you are a house of prayer. Pray for one another. Wherever you are, whenever. Together we are a house of prayer. So for the Lord's challenge for some of us today is, are you a part of the house of prayer at One Church Perth? In this part of God's kingdom community? And if not, why not? Or if not, can today be the day you enlist and you activate, I am a woman and a man of prayer, and I am a part of this house of prayer. There are plenty of opportunities. You can come to pre-service prayer every Sunday morning from 9:30 to 10 and be a part of the house of prayer. You can come to the encounter services when we are praying and worshiping together and be a part of the house of prayer. Like I said, you can pray for one another at any time and be the house of prayer. You can pray together in your small groups. You can come forward and receive prayer after a service like this. Don't be shy. You need prayer about something, get prayer. That's what we're here for. We're a house of prayer. Don't sit back there and not receive something of God's presence or his gift that he wants to give you because you didn't want to come forward to receive prayer. And then out on my journey, the Lord began revealing to me his heart for us as the whole body of Christ across our city. He said, his house in this city should also be a house of prayer. So there are several expressions of that. Go to the next slide. Obviously, one of the ones that we know about is Hope WA, House of Prayer for Everyone. So us bringing together the body of Christ, individual churches that are houses of prayer, individuals from the cross of the city that are houses of prayer, coming together to be the house of prayer in the city. And our goal is to have a place someday where there is 24/7 worship and prayer rising up from our city, so that when God looks down on Perth, he says he sees faith in that city. He sees his people united together, worshiping and praying day and night to him. Won't that be awesome? So to be a house of prayer, individually, as a family, as a church, as a city. When God first began taking me on this journey of unity and prayer and learning what it means to be a house of prayer, he spoke to me in a very unusual way. And I was actually in my mission trip to South Africa one year from, in Gordon's Bay. So I was over there and I was staying in my little hotel room and I just felt like I needed to turn on the TV, that there was something God wanted me to see. So I expected, something to be on the news or whatever. And I turn it on and I'm clicking through the stations. Okay, Lord, what is it? And I come upon the movie Spider-Man. And he's like, stop here. I'm like, really? Wow, okay. So I start, and it's the old one. So this was several years ago. And for those of you who may not know the Spider-Man story, let me tell you, Spider-Man, Peter, is bitten by a spider, and as a result, he gets all these supernatural powers. And he's just in that stage where he's trying to learn how to use these powers, and he discovers that there is this cage fight, that if he stays within that cage for 3 minutes with a big muscular man and doesn't get all beat up, that he would win $3,000. So he's like, well, I'm going to test out this power. And he goes in, and of course, he beats the guy up in less than 3 minutes. And so he goes to the manager to collect his money. And he walks in, and the manager hands him $100. And he's like, what is this? The sign said $3,000. I really need this money. I've got, and he started, arguing his case. And the manager just looks back at him, and he says, well, you didn't stay in there for 3 minutes, so you don't get the full $3,000. And I fail to see how any of this is my problem anyway. Now get out of here. So he walks out of the office. As he is walking out, another man walks in, closes the door. Peter goes to the other end, hits the elevator button, is waiting for the elevator. Meanwhile, the guy had walked into the office, pulls out a gun, and he demands all the money. And he puts it in a bag, and then the thief begins to run out, and the manager's following him, and he looks at Peter, the door begins to open, and he says, stop that man! And in that moment, Peter realizes what's happening, and that this guy is stealing the money that should have been his anyway, so he decides to let him go. The guy goes in the elevator and gets away, and the manager's like, why didn't you stop him? You could have stopped him. And he says, I fail to see how that's my problem. So Peter goes down and he comes out onto the street and there's a crowd of people there. And he makes his way through the crowd and he finds a man on the ground whose car has been stolen and he's been shot. And he turns him over and it's his uncle. His uncle's been shot, and he dies in his arms. And so Peter, using his supernatural powers, begins to follow the police cars, and he eventually catches up with this man who shot his uncle, and his face turns out of the darkness into the light, and it's the same man that he let through the elevator. Before all of this happens, his uncle was in the car with Peter, and they were having a conversation. And in that conversation were the words that the Holy Spirit was highlighting to me and why he wanted me to watch that movie. His uncle said to Peter, with great power comes great responsibility. With great power, Peter, comes great responsibility. And I found this comic, which actually has Peter saying, my fault, all my fault. If only I would have stopped him when I could have, but I didn't. And now my Uncle Ben is dead. The following Sunday night, the second Spider-Man movie was on. And so again, the Spirit was highlighting to me. Sometimes it takes us a long time to really get the message that God's trying to communicate to us. And so I'm watching the second one, and in this one, Peter begins to feel the responsibility of being Spider-Man is all too much to him. And so he, in effect, goes to sleep in order to live a normal life. He says, I'm not going to save anyone. I'm not going to listen to those sirens that are here. I'm going to ignore them. And he pretends he doesn't have any power until he is awakened by the reality that those he loves are going to die if he doesn't use his power. And so he puts back on the suit. And he begins to engage in the power that he has been given. God was using these words, with much power comes much responsibility. And this story, those many years ago, to wake me up to the reality that this is how so many of us are living our lives. We are asleep trying to live a normal life. We look at the state of the world or even the state of our own lives or our own families or situations, and we often say, I failed to see how it is my problem. And God is saying, wake up, church. The world is your responsibility. Perth is your responsibility. Marowa and the surrounding suburbs are our responsibility as men and women who have been given power in prayer. I have given you power to do something about them. And our power begins in the place of prayer, because prayer is where we connect with God. It's where we speak to him about the injustices and the problems, and we ask for his intervention. That's what men and women of prayer do. It's also where we hear from him what we are supposed to do and how he wants to use us to help change things or turn things around. Prayer is our power source in the kingdom of God. Did you hear that? Prayer is our power source in the kingdom of God. And this is why we're going back to the heart of the kingdom of God principles. And why I'm here to remind us today that prayer is at the heart of who we are and what we do in the kingdom of God. In Acts 2, we read that the early church was devoted to prayer. All those other things that Pastor Paul has been speaking to you about, it says that they were devoted to those things. And it also says they were a people who were devoted to prayer. Are you devoted to prayer? Am I a man or woman of prayer? And am I devoted to this kingdom principle of prayer? I would want to submit to us today that prayer was actually the catalytic kingdom principle that was empowering all the others. The generosity, the apostles' teaching, the miracles, the fellowship, and the unity that they were experiencing together all were happening because they were devoted to prayer. Because that's where their power was. So we can have all these others, and if we aren't devoted to prayer, those things are going to be without power in our lives. People are going to come into this place and they're not going to experience the power of God if we're not devoted to prayer. My house shall be a house of prayer. So how's your prayer life today? You know what? God's not mad at you if it's not very good. He's not here to whip you and lash you today if your prayer life's not very good. He's here to say, come on. I have created you to be a woman of prayer. I have created you to be a man of prayer. I have given you access into my throne room by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can come before me anytime, in any situation, and you can ask me for what you need, and I will give grace and mercy. You can come before my throne, child, with boldness and confidence and freedom at any time. That's his invitation. That's his desire. And he says, my longing is to give you myself, my presence, and my gifts. So what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? This devotion to prayer is going to bless your life. It's going to release power in your life. It's going to release my presence in your life. You're going to discover gifts from me that you've never received and never known about. I'm inviting you. I'm calling you to be devoted to prayer in my kingdom community. So let's take some time to pray right now, shall we? I invite you to bow your heads. Prayer is that communication with him. So what's the Lord speaking to you today? Is he challenging you? Is he encouraging you? Is he giving you fresh revelation of what some things that maybe you can add to your prayer life? How's your prayer life in your home and your family? Let the Holy Spirit speak into that space. What can it look like? What needs to change? How's your prayer life in connection with being a part of the house of prayer here at One Church Perth? What is he speaking to you about that? What is he stirring in your spirit? This is prayer. You're listening, and you're speaking back to him. This is you being a house of prayer right now. This is a moment of simplicity. Don't make it difficult. If your prayer life has not been what it should be, just come before him and say, God, you know, I'm really sorry. I haven't been spending time with you. I haven't been devoted to prayer. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please help me. Please help me become a man of prayer. Please help me become a woman of prayer. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this, but I'm asking for your help right now. Simply wants you to step in to who you are called to be, who you're created to be in his kingdom. He wants you to begin to experience the rewards of being devoted to prayer. Step in. Say yes. For those of you who've been on the journey a while, what is he speaking to you today? Maybe you just need a fresh dose of strength and encouragement to continue. Perseverance, endurance. Ask him for it. God, help me to persevere. Help me to persevere. Some of us just need to be reminded of the privilege right now that prayer is, the privilege of having access to our Heavenly Father. And others of us need to be reminded of the responsibility that we also have with the power that he's given us in prayer. In a few minutes, we're going to just do a closing song and invite anyone who needs prayer to come forward, because we want to be the house of prayer in that way today as well as we close. But before we do that, I'd like to ask you to stand, because I want us to pray for each other. So I want you to stand, and I want you to partner with someone. So get in pairs of two, please. If there's an odd number, then you come with me. So if you don't have a partner, you come up and I'll be your partner. Don't worry. I'm going to give you the prayer to pray. So if you're not used to praying or you're like, oh, I have to pray, it's okay. I'm going to give you the prayer. Everybody got a partner? Anybody need a partner? Awesome. Okay. So we have been reading through the epistles, Paul's letters to the churches this week in our daily reading. And you'll find in there that Paul was a man of prayer. And he was often just praying over the congregations. And we have records of his prayers in these scriptures. And so if you don't know how to pray, that's a great place to start. Take these prayers from a man of prayer and begin praying over your life and your family. So I want us to do that right now. So one of you will need to stand with your back to the screen, and the other of you need to stand so you can see the screen. And I want to encourage you to just pray this prayer from Philippians over the other person. So can we have the next screen, please? There we go. So from Philippians. So just take a moment and just pray this prayer over your person that you're with. And yes, switch. right, when you're done, I want you as a group of two to find another group of two and connect with them, and I'll tell you what to do in a moment. Just stick to the prayer. Oh, we got a group of how many over there? Six. So I can have one group come up. Oh, you guys are together. So Sandy, and can one group go with them? Awesome. All right. Can I have the next one? Next slide. All right, now I want you to just declare this blessing over one another. How I would like you to do this is I would like you to put one person to the back to the screen, and then the three of you all at the same time just lay hands and bless and declare this blessing out loud together over this person, okay? Go for it. And then just go around till everyone's done. Receive the blessing of the Lord. You know, that blessing comes from Numbers chapter 6. And God tells the priest to declare this blessing over all the people that you just prayed. And you know what God says after he tells them the blessing? He says, priest, when you do this, this is what you're doing. He says, you will put my name on the people, and I will bless them. So when that was being spoken over you, when that blessing was being declared of you, we were putting the presence of God on you. The gracious presence of God. The peace of God. The very heart of God was being loosened and released over each and every one of you. So as we close, one of our scripture readings for today, as we're reading through Philippians, says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And if you'll do that, the promise of Scripture is that the peace of God will transcend all your understanding, all that you are seeing happen in and around you with your minds, with your eyes, what's happening in the natural, the peace of God will transcend all of that, and he'll guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, is there anything in your life today that you would like to say, I would like my brothers or my sisters to pray with me about? It can be for you, it can be for your family, it can be about a situation, it can be something at work or someone, anything, any request that you want to pray about. And bring before the Lord right now. On your own, you can do that. We're going to take a few minutes just to pray. But if you've got something that you want to say right now, I want someone else to pray with me about this particular thing, about this particular request, just come forward and we'll pray with you about that. So let's bow our heads. Is there any requests that you want to bring before the Lord right now? Just do that from your life. But if there's something that you want me or someone else to pray with you about, don't miss this opportunity. Let us be a house of prayer together for one another.